your man right out the box. Then put him under my padlock. The way you see us together chilling in the place.
A little salt and pepper here.
In your face.
All right. We are on the back half of a show on Thursday. We kind of reach out and touch the weekend.
We're getting close.
And tomorrow.
It's almost spring break for us tomorrow.
Yeah. We're going to be at El Patio across the street from Coors Field. Right there on the rooftop. You guys got to come say hello. If you have tickets, come see us before or after. We'll be hanging out. So as you're leaving the game, you can come say hello.
Yep.
And then if you don't have tickets, we are your buddies tomorrow. So come hang. All right. There's a big question just hanging out there in Denver sports. And it's getting larger by the day because each day that passes is another step closer to the start of the playoffs. The NHL and the NBA are going to start on the same day, April 20th. Phil, it is April 4th. All right. 20 minus 4. 16.
16 days.
We are 16 days away from the playoffs. And we still don't know exactly what's going on with Jamal Murray. And it's a bit of a mystery because we didn't know about any knee injury until it popped up on the injury report.
Yeah.
We watched the games. We never came in here and said, oh, did you see what happened to Jamal's knee? No. But the inflammation has got to be to a degree where he's now missing on the verge of 3 weeks.
Yeah.
He hasn't played since March 21st. And so we don't know what happened. We don't know when he's going to be back. We know he's going through a warm-up, so it can't be that bad. But then if it's not that bad, why is he missing so much time? It's just a little bit puzzling here so close to the NBA playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, but just because he goes through a warm-up, he's not going full speed. You know, he's not having to make those hard cuts, the jumps, somebody pushing on him because, you know, they're heavier. We just see him shooting the ball. So we don't know if it's more significant than what it is, or maybe it's not. Maybe truly he's just getting the rest and they're like, you know what, just shut him down. Shut him down because I want him to be healthy. And he's been through a hamstring. He's went through the knee, the ankle, the shin splints. Like, we just can't have any of this in the playoffs, Zach, because we all know if one of those starting five is not playing, it's going to be hard to win.
Yeah, definitely, especially Jamal. Phil, I legitimately don't know if they would make it out of the first round without Jamal Murray. I don't know. I don't know if that's true. And it would probably be dependent on matchup. Like, could they beat certain teams in the first round without Jamal? Yeah, I think they could. But there's others that are like, I don't know about that. So we're still waiting to see if Jamal is going to play tonight. It was over a week ago where I'm like, Phil, look at me. Look at my eyes. Jamal's playing tonight. It's a big game against Phoenix. Phil, Jamal's playing. Phil, not going to miss the Minnesota game. He's going to play. Nope. So we'll see here in just a little bit. The Nuggets are currently in the 2 seed, looking up at those Timberwolves. Now, the Wolves have the Suns tomorrow night, so that's a fun one to keep track of. We know there's one more matchup between Denver and Minnesota. I'm curious, if you could hand pick your first round opponent, who would it be? If you could hand pick your first round opponent.
That's a good one, Zach. And we're speculating that everybody's healthy.
Yes, Jamal is going to be back healthy.
Everybody's healthy. Yeah. Now, does the seed matter?
I wouldn't even get bogged down with the seed because the seed is going to be the seed. I'm just curious in this exercise if you could just cherry pick your opponent.
Okay.
Who would you pick?
Well, I'm just going to put it out there. Let's say the second seed.
Perfect.
Second seed. All right. There's two teams in my head that I have in mind that I would hand pick, and I'm tied, like I'm torn between both of them, and it's the Sacramento Kings and the Warriors, Golden State Warriors.
Okay.
In your head, who do you have?
I would pick the Kings. I would pick the Kings.
Okay.
And let me say this. The Nuggets are healthy. I feel extreme comfort sitting on my couch watching the games. Extreme comfort.
No matter who we're playing.
I am unbothered if the Denver Nuggets are healthy, especially in the first round. But if I were to pick between the Warriors and the Kings, I would just like to avoid Steph Curry if I can.
Just out of respect?
Out of respect. He's a top 10 player who's still in his prime. He's still an all-pro. Or he's in the top 10 conversation. Certainly in the top 15 for sure. But he's in the top 10 conversation. And I would just like to avoid that. They're playing well. Golden State is right now. I think they've won 5 in a row, I want to say. And the Kings, on the other hand, now they've beaten Denver.
They have.
But you know what happened this past week that we haven't talked about? And look, it's not like going to lead a segment or something for us, but in this conversation, we haven't talked about it. They have a dude, Malik Monk, who I think is going to win Sixth Man of the Year. He's the third leading scorer for the team. He comes off the bench. He's got an ACL or MCL sprain. He is going to be out for the next month and a half.
That's big.
And that would intersect directly with the first round. He's such a big part of what they do. A former Kentucky one and done.
Yeah, that's big.
And for that, that puts it over the top for me. I would pick the Kings. How about you?
See, I'm going to have to go against the old Bulls. All right. Now, you're in the jungle. You have two lions. You got that young bull. What are they going to try to go for? That young lion that's going to try to go for that older lion because they know somebody has to be the king. This old man isn't strong enough anymore. That's what the Warriors are. Okay, their dynasty is over. Draymond Green's going to probably punch somebody in a private part or something like that. Be out.
He's done it before.
We know.
Literally.
Use a cup. Bring a cup to that game. Maybe some goggles. All right. He may not end up playing. Okay. Klay Thompson is wishy-washy right now. He's heating up, but he's wishy-washy. You know, I'm not worried about anybody else. You know, nobody else on that team kind of, you know, puts fear in me.
No.
And then, of course, Steph Curry. One of the best basketball players to play in the NBA.
Yeah.
I respect everything. I love Steph. But he's the only one that's consistent for you. Like, for the Denver Nuggets, they're that young bull still. And we've seen where the Warriors have given everything they have, thrown everything at them, even got up by 15, and it didn't matter.
Right.
That would be the same exact case if they played in the playoffs.
I agree. I agree with my point. And I agree with your point.
Yeah. I mean, Sacramento's another one, but they're knuckleheads. They're that young team, Zach. They're that young team that they don't care. They're younger than us.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So they're willing to do whatever it takes to be the man, to be that cool guy, and they're going to throw everything at you. So I just be more careful with that because they have beat us in the past, too.
Yeah.
And they don't have nothing to lose.
Right.
They have no battle scars like that, so they don't have anything to lose, but they're going to give you everything they got.
Yeah. No, you're right. De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah.
Sabonis.
Those are some studs.
They are. So each round is going to come with its own challenges, but the biggest challenge that Denver can face is the health report.
Yeah.
Is the health, especially early in the early stages of these playoffs. So should we hear anything about Jamal? We will update you. And if not, because the game's so late tonight, we'll just see how it plays out on TNT tonight against the Los Angeles Clippers. Okay. There's a dynamic that could be waiting for the Avalanche in the playoffs, and it could make us uncomfortable. I'll tell you who and why next. There is a dynamic that could be waiting for the Colorado Avalanche in the playoffs. That may make us uncomfortable. Did I already share the theory of like how the music goes, like the genre goes with like the sports, with like Green Day? This is like Green Day gets played at the hockey games. Did I say that already?
Yeah, you've talked about it a little bit.
Okay.
But you want to like quickly explain to the ones that you know haven't heard it?
No. Yeah. I just going to these sporting events so often. It's certain sports have their own music culture, especially hockey. Where like if you go to a hockey game, you're gonna hear Green Day, you're gonna hear some Blink 182, you're gonna hear what's that old song, Teenage Wasteland, Bob O'Reilly. Like you're gonna hear that.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. And it's not just like here in Colorado. If you, it's just, I can't explain it. How a certain type of music intersects with a sport and the demographic of that sport. It's just
funny.
It's interesting. Okay. there's a dynamic, Phil, that could be waiting for the Avs in the playoffs that may make us uncomfortable. And, you know, the Avs are in Minnesota tonight versus the Wild. Justas Onanen is going to get the start. We can talk about what we expect here in a second. But what I'm thinking, as I said that going into break, is the Avs are now trailing the Dallas Stars by 5 points for the division lead. All right, and it's getting late early. And I'm wondering if we should just start preparing ourselves for a first-round matchup with the Winnipeg Jets. Now, Winnipeg is no great shakes right now. They're struggling, okay? So I don't want to misrepresent it. They've actually lost, like, man, until they beat the Kings here in the last 24 hours, they lost, like, six consecutive games.
Yeah, they're struggling a little bit.
You know who's not struggling and gives me some pause in a playoff series? Is their goaltender, Connor Hellebuck. He is this league's best goaltender right now. He is going to win the Vezina, which is the MVP on the goalie side, right? It's the best goaltender. Thing is, he's already won one. He's finished in the top four of this voting for like three of the last 4 years. At one point in the 2019-20 season,
yeah,
he finished like fifth or sixth in the Hart Trophy.
You're talking about the Hart Trophy, the MVP.
Right, so like they have their own MVP, but he was so great, he finished like top five or six voting in that category, which is, you know, unusual, but it speaks to just how great this guy is. And in a series where the Avs goaltending is not any great shakes.
No, it's shaky.
It's like, man, could this be problematic, even for a team that's struggling, losing six of their last seven, for a dude that can just stand on his head for 2 weeks.
Stand on his head, and you guys have beat this in the ground to me saying, hey, a goalie can win you a series, right? And we were talking about, can Georgiev win us a game?
Yeah.
You know, we had to sit there and think. Because I don't think Georgiev can win us a series. Onanen can win us a series.
No.
We're talking about, can they win us a game? We're talking about this goalie winning Winnipeg a series, a game, maybe even two series.
Yeah.
Man.
And we've seen here just in the last couple weeks, like, the Avalanche being way better than their opponent.
Yeah.
And just, like, running into a goaltender that's just sizzling. We saw it with Montreal when they lost. And we saw it just this past week with Columbus, a team that they beat 6-1, right? A week or two before. It's like, oh, no, you have, like, twice as many shots. You lost. That goalie stood on his head for three periods. And I'm not trying to spread fear or anything because I think the Avs would take care of business. But if there's like a dynamic that concerns me as we look ahead and forecast the first round matchup, it would be Connor Hellebuck in between the pipes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Winnipeg in general is one of those teams. Is like, do you want to see in the first round?
Yeah.
The physicality, right? That's what when I'm looking at it, and I know I'm on a new journey with this, but there's things that I take from sports. And it's a physical aspect of a sport when it comes to football, when it comes to hockey. When you're watching the Colorado Avalanche skate through that ice, you see finesse, you see, you know, speed. And when you see someone like Winnipeg, you see power, physicality, big, right? The Colorado Avalanche don't necessarily fit well with teams that are physical. Right? Bigger than them and physical.
It's given them problems in the past. It has.
You're in the playoffs now where you have to score ugly goals, where everything is about physicality. That's where it's like, okay, I'm not nervous about the Colorado Avalanche because we have some superstars on our team. We have multiple superstars. But we're talking about winning a series, winning games in a playoff game, and it has to become, can you be physical along with having that speed and finesse?
Yeah. It's going to be an interesting dynamic. And, I mean, it gets started in 16 days. That's how close we are to this thing. So let's just put that name in the back pocket of ours, our Connor Hellebuck. I looked at the Vezina odds this morning. It's his to lose. It's like Jokic with six games left. It's his. He's going to win another one. Call him Helly. Helly. 2.4 goals given up per game. That's a top three number in the NHL. A save percentage of .919. That's number one in the entire league. And believe it or not, ma'am, and this is just like a personal twist. When I was in college and I was playing college basketball, the College of St. Rose at the Division II level, we were in a conference called the Northeast 10. And there was a school in our conference called UMass Lowell. And we played them every year. We go to Lowell, Massachusetts. A few years after I graduated,
yeah,
they transitioned to Division I. That's where Connor Hellebuck played. It's a Riverhawk at UMass Lowell. That's why, like, look at their jerseys. Like, that's where this guy played. He's one of the great college goaltenders in recent memory by the numbers. So let's just keep our eye on that. We'll see what happens tonight. Val Nichushkin.
Oh, Val.
Skating in Denver.
It's good.
Earlier this morning, I mentioned Denver because the team's going to Minnesota. I don't think we're going to see him tonight. May see him tomorrow night against Edmonton.
Yeah, I'm not worried as much for Val because I think he's okay. I'm more worried about like someone like Jamal Murray missing games than Val. You know, I think that for Val's state, you know, for him to get healthy, hopefully it's nothing significant. If he's skating around the ice, it's probably not as bad. But Jamal, we just don't know.
We just don't know.
We don't know what it is.
Nope. All right, we'll see what happens. Next 24 hours are going to be interesting on both the Jamal front and the Val Nichushkin front for their own separate reasons, but certainly impactful for sure. Okay, a decision was made by the Denver Broncos a month ago, and it still has no clear resolution. And we'll tell you what we're talking about coming up next. A decision was made by the Broncos 1 month ago. Still has no resolution. What's going on with Justin Simmons?
Oh, man. OJ.
Still out there in free agency.
Yeah, he's out there, man. I think it's not because no one wants him. Everybody probably wants Jay. I think it just comes down to, one, does he want to be on the team right now? Does he want to go through OTAs? You know, is he ready for all that? And two, are the teams willing to give him the money that he wants? You know, sometimes it takes some time for a team to really be desperate enough to give you a lot more money than they want to give you. A lot of these teams want to wait for the draft, see what they get in the draft.
Right, right.
You know, and then go back and give someone like Justin Simmons a lot more money.
I like that. Is Justin Simmons... I remember asking about Philly, like, you know, a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like that's going to happen. I wonder if Justin would want to link back up with Vic Fangio. Or if that is just like,
It's always good when you got a familiar face in the building. And especially, you know what that coach wants. The coach knows you. You don't have to go and prove yourself. Even when you're 9 years in, you know, you don't want to have to sit there and prove yourself to a person that doesn't really know you. And so they can say, well, you know, you fell off. So, like, teaming back up with Vic, would it be a bad idea? Vic's over there in Philly, right?
In Philly, yes. And that's what we thought could be a fit, but it's like, okay, I haven't heard anything connecting Justin Simmons to any particular team, to be honest with you.
Yeah, not until the start there, you know, there's a lot of connections of him going to Tennessee.
Yeah.
Because Tennessee was, you know, making some big waves from the receiver room. Chido Bayawuzie, my good friend, got picked up over there. There was another quarterback, Sneed.
Yep.
Picked up. Yep. And so there was rumors that Justin Simmons was going to be part of that as well. And it's like they're putting together a really, really good defense.
Is that a team that is like, A lock to be a winner?
No.
You know what I mean? They were 6-11 this past year. It's like,
it's a scary team. It's a team that,
yes,
when you sit down and look on paper, it's not a sexy looking team.
Right.
But the division you're in, Houston has gotten better. Jacksonville is kind of sitting right there, 9-8 both years in a row. You know, I don't know where Jacksonville stands right now. And then you got the Titans.
Yeah.
So that's a team that you mess around and you catch fire, you could end up winning the division.
Sure, yeah. No, I like that little breakdown there. You know, he's still out there. I'm sure he's going to be picked up here soon, but it's just like, how soon? Do you think he's in a training camp with someone?
Yes. Justin Simmons is going to be in a training camp with somebody because the draft will be over, and that's when he'll make his decision.
And Justin seems... I don't know him, right? I just know what I know.
I thought you guys had dinner together.
We did not. But he seems like the guy, and you helped me out with this one.
Yeah.
And there's no right or wrong, but he seems like the guy who would want to be in training camp if he's with a new team, like just super prideful and has a process. Or is he like to the point where it's like, I've actually been around the block a bunch of times. I don't need that. But it seems like if it was a new location, he would. What do you make of it?
Yeah, see, I think that, of course, Justin wants to be somewhere, be in a training camp, get used to his teammates, get used to the coaching staff, the playbook. But also, on the other hand, He's probably sitting there saying, I've been playing for a long time. We don't know where his head's at. You know, we don't know how much more he was going to play here in Denver anyway. You know, he could have played one or two more years and said, I'm done. So I think for him, he wants to be very calculated. And I'm just speculating.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that he wants to be calculated where he goes. You know, and I think he's willing to wait it all out. Seg, truly, like, the older you get, say I wanted to go to play this year. I don't care about getting picked up right now. Like, there's nothing going on. You don't even get your money right now, right? I care about maybe OTAs is another one. Okay, cool. I don't really care to be there OTAs. Now, I want to be there like a week before OTAs is over so I can get the playbook.
Okay.
And then now it's to go back home, grind, get ready for camp. I want to be there for camp.
You wouldn't be personally a little bit paranoid if you were not with at OTAs and your team was there?
Depending on now, have I been there for a while? Or is it a new team?
It's a new team.
New team? Yeah, I'm going to show up a couple times. That's what happens. It's like you have people that show up a couple times, check the team out, and then they'll go MIA because it's not mandatory, right?
Right.
I would do that, but I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, I have to be in OTAs. Like, you're not making a decision in OTAs. If they cut you in OTAs, Zach, they were going to cut you.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Now,
right.
Camp is where you're battling. That's when I have to be ready.
Right. What about Dalton Risner?
Mm.
He's still out there, too.
Big D, man.
For the second consecutive year.
That's crazy. You know, I have a bone to pick with Minnesota. Because it's like, why do you pick up Dalton so early, right? Like, I mean, you pick up Dalton, you get rid of your starter, you know, at the time. Dalton plays really well for you that year. And yet he's still on the market. And I've seen many of guards getting taken. And a lot of the guards are getting paid a lot of money this year.
Yeah, they are.
And so I'm just interested to see what Dalton did wrong. Dalton's a really good guy. He works hard, right? He works hard. He on that field, I know he's working his butt off on that field. So, like, what's the issue? I know it has to come down to money.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's interesting. Will Dalton be with a camp, do you think?
Oh. No. I don't think Dalton's going to be with a camp to start the camp. Because I think Dalton's going to try to wait it out and see how much money he can get.
Yeah. All right. We'll see. We shall see.
What are you thinking?
I think they will both be in a training camp.
Okay.
I think Simmons will be in a training camp. I think Risner will be in a training camp. And we'll see what happens, man. We'll see what happens. What's the text line? What's the RamosLaw.com text line saying, KJ?
All right. From the 970333, did the Broncos make the right decision by letting go of Justin?
Yes, and it's got nothing to do with Justin as a player. It's just a bad intersection of where the Broncos are trying to come out of, where to put their finances when you're eating the largest dead cap in NFL history, and where Justin's at in his career.
Yeah,
and what's next for him. I just think it was best for both parties to go their separate ways and no bad will between either party.
Yeah, I just think that Denver didn't have no chance or no choice. Denver did not have a choice because of where they are financially. All right, of course they would love to keep Justin. And if it wasn't this cap hit with Russell Wilson, they probably would have kept Justin.
Yeah, maybe so. But then it's like, does Justin actually want to be here with this situation?
And that's always the other side of it. Is as a human being, do you want to still be here when you know it's a rebuild? You don't know what you're going to get. Okay, you don't know.
Yeah.
You want to go to a playoff at least one time in your life and play in it in meaningful minutes, not just be on special teams.
Right.
So I think for him, it's like I get to start somewhere new on a team that I know is going to go to a playoff team, wherever that is.
Yeah. All right, interesting conversation. Hey, real quick shout out I wanted to give a couple days ago. It was on Saturday. Me and my wife went on a little date.
Yeah, how'd that go?
Good. We went to Los Dos Patrios.
All right.
Why is Los Dos Patrios the answer to a Broncos trivia question? Now, you were in the NFL
at
the time, so I'm not going to hold this against you.
All right.
Kambaje Granderson, why is Los Dos Patrios an answer to a Broncos trivia question?
Because one of the quickest coach to ever be fired in Broncos history was mingling there.
Yeah, they basically did the deal there for Hackett.
For real?
Yes, when Hackett was in town, when they were hammering out the deal on their way to Centennial Airport, they went to Los Dos Patrios. Why we ended up finding that out, I'm not sure. But anyway, we go, and that place gets mobbed. Like, we're there at 5:30, thinking we're there early.
Early.
Dude, hour and 5 minute wait.
For real?
At 5:30.
I know you were mad.
A little bit. A little bit. Because we're the old people. We're like, I want to be home by 7:30 to put my kids down, right? And
I can just see you right now. Zach being dramatic. It's going to take forever.
Me?
2 hours.
What? And, so we go and sit at the bar. So two seats at the bar opened up. And we ran and grabbed them. And then a couple minutes later, someone else sat down. And this guy was a mountain of a man, Phil.
He was big.
Mountain of a man. Like one of those dudes you're like, you must have done something like with that body. And we start talking, and he said he played college football at Colorado.
Oh.
And played his high school football at Columbine.
Okay.
Ended up getting drafted in the 5th round by Cleveland. And Ryan Miller.
Yeah.
Yeah, he and I sat next to each other.
Yeah, he's big.
He is huge. He's huge.
He was before me.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. But I think he said he interacted with you a little bit.
Yeah, like I know Ryan a little bit.
Had really nice things
Ryan
to
Miller,
say.
Yeah.
But it was just like, oh, this guy, like just sitting next to me, and he couldn't have been nicer. So, and we had a really nice conversation. So shout out Ryan Miller. If you know Ryan, tell him, text him, tell him we gave him a shout out. All right. Shifting gears here. There is a member of Denver sports who is not waiting for the storm to pass. Instead, he's learning how to dance in the rain. We'll tell you who that is and why coming up next. Am I wrong? Thinking out the box from where I stay. Am I wrong? Saying that I choose another way. There's a member of Denver sports who is not waiting for the storm to pass, but instead he's learning how to dance in the rain. You ever hear that quote, Phil, about life?
Oh, way too many times. Way too many times. Sometimes you just got to dance in the rain. When things ain't going good, you got to find ways to make it good.
Did you ever, like, when you were younger, when you were a kid, like a big rain, were you, like, out in the street, like, playing in the puddles and stuff?
Yeah, I was always out there playing in the puddles. You see the worms, like, coming out. All of a sudden, they get washed into the sidewalks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, I would be the one trying to put them back in the grass so they don't dry up.
Oh, look at you.
I'm a good Samaritan like that,
Zach. Wow.
Come on now. You're the one that was eating them, huh?
They said, Phil, you can't possibly make a difference for all those worms. And Phil picked up the worm, threw it in the grass, and said, I made a difference for that one.
I like it. You were that one kid that just stomped on everything, huh?
No.
Hopefully your kids ain't listening to this.
Like
you're stomping on the worms.
That was my brother. He would like take like ants and like put them in spider webs to see how the spider like ate them and stuff. Like, Jason, what are you doing? That's cruel. we used to be like, this past week we were talking about like we don't see kids like playing like football on the street and stuff like that. Now, I'm not lurking through the streets during a storm, so I don't know if the kids are out there like they used to. But I remember it was like big storms, like get the bike, run through the puddles, like just like, I mean, we'd be
just out there
submerging ourselves in the dip points of the road and try to get all the way under the water. I mean, we're like probably not the healthiest thing, I guess. But the guy who we're talking about here in Denver sports, who is not waiting for the storm to pass, but instead learning how to dance in the rain. It's my guy, Charlie freaking Blackman.
Charlie!
Chuck Nasty.
Cheer up, Charlie.
What's that?
I love a Willy Wonka, man.
Oh.
Yeah. Charlie,
the new one?
No, the old one.
Yeah, that's the original one, right?
Yeah. Don't be afraid. It's when Charlie didn't have enough money to get him a golden ticket or a candy bar, and he was just sitting there all sad, and his mom was like, cheer up, Charlie.
I forget that part. All right, you get the validation.
If I'm Charlie, I'm taking that candy bar.
Charlie Blackman, man, we know the Rockies, it's a bad situation.
Very bad.
It's a bad situation. It's kind of embarrassing. But, man, I'm proud of Charlie Blackman. 37 years old, is hitting .417 through seven games. Phil, that's the 10th best mark in Major League Baseball. Mm. And, again, it's a very negative story right now. Everyone's piling on the Rockies, and as they should. Yeah, I'm not here
to blame them.
Yeah, no, I'm not here to play defense on behalf of the organization. But I do, I'm like, I don't know Charlie Blackman. Charlie makes a bunch of money doing what he's doing. But I still find myself like proud of that guy. Like, you know, just proud of him. I sound like a weirdo, huh? I do.
A little bit.
All right.
Like, you got this weird infatuation with Charlie Blackman.
I just
like. Where is the beard? You don't have a beard. You want a beard.
I do not want a beard. But, like, Charlie's not supposed to be their best player.
No,
dude.
Not right now. 37 years old, Zach. He's not supposed to be the best player. He's supposed to be there, right, as a depth player, as a player that is like, oh, that's Charlie Blackman. Back in the day, when he was younger,
yeah,
he was the man.
Yeah.
He's having to do that right now at 37 years old because you have some players that can't get their act together. And you have another older player and Chris Bryant that just decide, hey, I'm not showing up at all. I'm going to take the money and I'm leaving. I'm cashing out.
Yeah.
And that's a shame.
And how old is Chris Bryant? Like 31, 32? Okay, he's 32. Dude, when Charlie Blackman was 32, he was an absolute baller.
Mm.
Baller. So I don't want to hear age as an excuse for Chris Bryant. Because so he's 32. So like, you go back, Chuck, so that's 5 years ago. So that'd be like 2019. Yeah, I mean, I remember 2018. That was a game on a Friday night. You could not put another person in Coors Field. And Charlie had a walk-off home run.
Mm.
And the Rockies were in the playoff race. And I remember my mother-in-law was visiting. And I remember on a Friday night just being up in my living room like, let's go. And she's like, you guys like this baseball team that much, huh? Like, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And Charlie's still here. Everyone else has left.
Yeah.
There's no more Nolan Arenado or Trevor Story or, you know.
That's a lonely situation, man.
It is.
You know, he's to look to the left of you, the right of you, and you have a bunch of new guys, a lot of babies probably sitting there now. And it's just like, man, what am I doing? That's probably what Charlie Blackman's thinking this year. Like, what am I doing?
Yeah. But baseball, you can. The sport lends itself to sometimes just focus on yourself. And it's a, you know, Troy Rank used to say it like this. And I love the way he said it. He said, baseball is a solo performance within an orchestra. Yeah, you need everyone else.
Yeah.
But when you step up to that plate, it's just you. There's no left tackle trying to make your job easier with the pitcher. I mean, it's just, so I just love that Charlie's playing great, hitting 417. That's not sustainable, but for right now, it's pretty damn cool. And you look at this guy, Phil, he's been in Denver sports for 14 years.
Man, who's been here longer right now? I'm trying to think. He might be the longest one.
Definitely. Definitely. There's not a coach or player that has been here as long as Charlie Blackman.
No.
I mean, Phil, you're 29 years old.
Yeah.
You have a kid and another one on the way.
I know.
Charlie was in, you were in high school when Charlie Blackman was playing for the Rockies. And think about that. Think about everything that happened since you were in high school. And Charlie's just still out there taking the field every day.
Playing a kid's game, man.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to. You get to play baseball for a living. And for him, he's getting paid millions and millions of dollars to go out there and play a kid's game and enjoy it. And I can't be mad at him. I'm happy. Oh, Charlie, 37 is still kicking.
Yeah, and we'll see him tomorrow.
Yeah,
it'll be his umpteenth opening day, home opener anyway, at Coors Field. And I want to ask the question. I want to throw this out to our listeners on the RamosLaw.com text line. Who else in Denver sports history reminds you of Charlie Blackman? And what I mean by that, it's a guy who's like not going to the Hall of Fame, but he's intertwined within the team history because he was so solid for so long.
Mm.
All right. So like Elway was here for maybe 14 years, something like that. I mean, so something in that vein, but he's going to the Hall of Fame. He's one of the greatest players ever.
Yeah. He's in the Hall of Fame.
That's not Charlie. So who doesn't have like Hall of Fame cachet that had an incredible run in Denver sports, that he was just so solid and dependable year in, year out for a truly extended period of time? And the guy who I thought of first with this conversation was Avalanche's Eric Johnson, who's no longer with the team this year, but he was with the Avs 2011 through 2023. It was never the best player, never going to be a Hall of Famer, but was just solid fan favorite for years and years and years. I think that's one that came to mind. I'm curious what our listeners come up with.
Yeah, I mean, mine was, and I had to ask you guys, because I know this man is a solid, solid hockey player, all right, and he's played for a while, but I just don't know if he's that guy that's going to the Hall of Fame. So I asked you guys, and I asked the listener as well, someone like Gabe Landeskog.
That's a good one.
He's been here for 12 years, 11 years, guys. I want to say 12.
That's a really good one. He came. He started his career with the Avs in, like, I don't know, 2011, I think. I think it was 11 for Gabe.
Yeah, it was 11, 12. And okay. he's 11 years played. So if you were playing now, this would actually be his 13th year.
That's a good one, dude.
That's crazy. That is a really good one.
13th. And how many more years does he have in his contract? Five?
I think four or five. Yeah.
So if he can ever, you know, get this knee situated, which I hope he can, he might be here for another 4 or 5 years.
That would actually be, if he finished that contract, and it's a big if, because I don't know if I'm going to see him play a shift again.
Mm.
Despite Stink telling me yesterday morning that he's coming back for the playoffs. Holy moly,
yeah,
Stink.
His sources.
Mark, irresponsible. Knock it off. I could take shots at him because he told me if I was a woman, I would look like Caitlin Clark.
You know what? You kind of do look like Caitlin Clark.
Hey. You know what? Hand down, man down. You better stay close on defense. But that's a good one. Who else in Denver sports? Let's hit up the RamosLaw.com text line. Do we have some flowing in, KJ?
We do. Coming in very, very heavy is the all-time great Broncos receiver, Rod Smith.
Rod, hot Rod.
Unfortunately, he is a part of this conversation. And I say unfortunately because part of the parameters is you can't be like some Hall of Fame player.
Yeah.
And Rod, I don't know, man. There's got to be a place in Canton for him.
There might be. You know, you see all the time that there's an old player that gets in out of the blue. Maybe Rod does. But yeah, he's kind of being left out. You know, and it sucks. It does suck to hear that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know who's another one is, and this is a deep cut, okay? This is not my lifetime, so I don't want to misrepresent it, but in studying the history of the Broncos, Tom Jackson, not a Hall of Fame player, but played with the Broncos and the Broncos alone every game of his career, 1973 through 1986. That is a run. Now he is a Broncos Ring of Famer, rightfully so, but not a Hall of Fame player, and just was here forever.
Yeah,
that's one that sticks out.
I'll give you guys another one from the hockey world. Guy who played over 1,000 games, played all 14 years in Colorado, has his jersey up in the Raptors. Milan Hayduk.
That's a good one.
Yeah, good guy that was a great player, but a guy that's probably never going to get into the Hall of Fame. Had a heck of a run with the Avalanche.
Yeah, started with the Nordiques.
He was here. He came here at, I think, 98 was his first year in Colorado.
No, I'm saying, didn't he start his career with the Nordic? No. Milan Hayduk?
Yep, Milan Hayduk.
Okay.
Yeah, his first year in the league was 98, 99.
Okay. I have that wrong. We'll keep our eye on suggestions there. Who else had, KJ got another one?
This one may be a little bit of a stretch, but I'm starting to see a little bit of Dikembe Mutombo come on the text line.
Okay. How long was Mutombo here, though?
I think he was only here like 5 years.
Yeah, I don't think
it was a short stint. It was a great stint, but it was a short stint.
Yeah, you have to have like 10 plus years.
Yes. So like Justin Simmons, like,
not there.
No.
No.
Bowles, no.
What about a guy like Demaryius Thomas?
DT.
Love that guy.
I know.
How many years did Demaryius play?
See, I think he's going to go to the Hall of Fame, though, Drew.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah.
Yeah. I do. I mean, there was no one burned brighter than Demaryius Thomas when he was at the peak of his powers.
Yeah, I don't think people understand how dominant Demaryius Thomas was when he was younger, man.
He had like a 4-year stretch where I think it was only like Jerry Rice and maybe like Megatron that was like 1,300 yards or more with at least 5 touchdowns. It was some sort of stat like that. But from the time, like 2012, that first year with Peyton, dude, he went on a run that was 1,400 yards, 10 touchdowns. 1,400 yards, 14 touchdowns. 1,600 yards and 11 touchdowns. 1,300 on Peyton's last legs, and when the offense wasn't great in 2015, dude, DT went for over 1,300 yards.
See, yeah, that's Demaryius was good, man.
Dude, he was
good.
He was amazing.
Somebody that like it's hard to forget about him, but you can also like tend to forget about him because he's so quiet.
Yeah,
Demaryius has always been so quiet. When I first met DT, he barely would say any words.
Yeah.
You know, and I just thought it was because, you know, he was like older than us and he didn't want to be around us. But no.
Super quiet.
Harris just was quiet, where Emmanuel was my guy because, you know, I like to talk a lot. He liked to talk a lot.
Yeah.
Harris was the opposite.
Yeah. You want to know what the shame is about Demaryius? Is that even with how great his seasons were, he actually never was first team all pro.
No.
He was in the, it's like some of these guys just run up and they're in the wrong era.
Yeah.
And you wonder, hey, could Melo and Chauncey and those guys went and won the championship if it weren't for freaking Kobe Bryant and the Lakers in their way? Pat Ewing, could he have ever won a championship? But it's Jordan and, you know.
Yeah.
And DT played in an era where it, when Antonio Brown was doing things we never saw. And you know who it was, I think, that held him back was Julio Jones.
Julio.
It was just an intersection of a guy
too.
Who was,
you get, like I can't be mad about that.
You know?
You know, Zach, one of the saddest moments with Demaryius Thomas was when he got traded from Denver, right? My first year, 2018, Demaryius, you know, he was on his way out.
Like,
you know, everybody knew that. Demaryius was dropping balls, you know, even in practices and in games that he just wouldn't drop in games.
Yeah.
But I still thought that he still had some left in him. I wanted him to be able to come back and retire a Bronco.
Yeah.
And then they trade him in the middle of the season to Houston.
Right.
You know, and
then the next week.
Yes.
The next week, the Broncos played Houston.
And they had a tribute for him and everything else, you know. And I think that kind of upset a lot of players in that locker room at that time. Just because of how it was done, and we were starting to heat up a little bit more, and Demaryius was just one of those players that, like, he did the dirty work. Demaryius at that time knew he wasn't going to be that barn burner that he was back in the day, but he blocked, he caught the tough balls, and that was Emmanuel Sanders' boy, right? And now you start to separate Emmanuel Sanders' boy and all that, and Demaryius Thomas, and it just didn't go well. It didn't go well in that locker room.
And from what I understand, DT had asked VJ, are you going to trade me?
Yeah.
VJ said no because that's what he was hearing.
Yep.
But he wasn't hearing the truth.
Yeah, VJ had no control over that.
And then next thing you know, VJ's telling DT something that's not true. And then now VJ looks like a liar when in reality, if VJ's not getting the right information from upstairs, not a healthy dynamic.
No, none. Now you're answering like to people like Emmanuel, right? Like they're going up there asking. I remember like going up there asking what's going on, why? Why? I want to know why.
Yeah.
That's when you know you got a little juice when you're going up to the front office.
Yeah.
Demanding why.
Yeah.
Hey, so, you know.
That sounds like Emmanuel, though.
It does.
It sounds like Emmanuel Sanders. Oh, my gosh.